Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. In Season 2 of Hacks and Hobbies, we're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, I get to speak with Ronan Leonard. He's a specialist in creating mastermind programs. Most self-employed professionals struggle to build their expertise into sustainable revenue and have the impact their skills warrant. And what's really amazing about speaking with Ronan, being a specialist in creating mastermind programs, I've had this thought of creating my own mastermind program, or at least have a mastermind group call about 3 months ago, and it's just been that a thought. And I contacted a few people. I'm like, hey, how about this? I'm trying to start this, you know, business. I'm trying to start this video production company. I'm trying to try this podcast. And I'm sure there's other people that are in the same boat. So Ronan, I'm really honored to have you on the podcast. You are just the guy that we need to talk to understand and figure out how do we get started with the mastermind program? Because I'm sure there's a ton of moving pieces. You know, there's a lot of collaboration involved. People have different calendars, different, you know, things going on. Well, thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
You know, Junaid, thanks for having me on board. I'm looking forward to this discussion and see how it's going to take us and how we can help other people that have those questions that we can answer as many as possible and give them some guidance.
Absolutely. So the first thing, you know, so the reason that I hopped on, I mean, thinking about the mastermind, because I saw other people doing these mastermind programs. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And you have access to, you know, their mind and their group. But then when you see the group activity, you know, people are helping each other and building those bonds as well. And I was like, you know, I know a lot of people that are going through these struggles. Well, I'm at a certain point. I've done a lot of things that I can help people, other people with. And I'm sure other people have gone further from me or, you know, they're behind. So we can basically help each other out. So that was my initial thought. And before we jump into that conversation and get to figure out, okay, how do we do this mastermind group? I just want to know your version of your journey. How did you get started and how did you figure out that you're the specialist in helping creating mastermind programs?
Well, throughout my life, I didn't really have a career. What I did know is what I didn't want to do. A lot of people get stuck in a job for a long, long time and go, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. What I did in my very late teens and early 20s, I think it was around about 3 or 4 jobs in a row, I looked around specifically one or two and I said, look, if I'm here in 10 years time, just shoot me. This is not the job for me. and I knew it under a year. So rather than just sit there and look at these people who got bitter and twisted, I was like, I've got to leave. I've got to find and do something else.
Yeah.
So it was, okay, let's quit and figure it out. And you can do that when you're, you know, early 20s. You've got most people got no financial responsibilities. They're not really looking for the future. So it was a reasonably easy thing to do. Having said that, a lot of people just kind of stay and get stuck. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then I got a job working on cruise ships. So again, it was a little bit intentional. I traveled and I met a friend of my mum's who worked for a cruise line, got this job on cruise ships. And then that started this journey of travel in the world. Yeah. But even in between that, I joined one ship I really didn't like. And the same thing happened. Some friends of mine said, hey, we're going to go and live in India for 6 months. We've rented this house. Mm. So 2 days later, I got this postcard from them saying that, and I quit my job and I got a flight over to India. So I had no career. I just knew I don't want to do this. Let's figure something else out.
Yeah.
And then when I finally finished working on cruise ships, settled down in Australia, met my wife on cruise ships. And again, I went back to an office job and I did it for about 18 months. And I was really unhappy. Mm. So I said, right, I'm just going to put my life savings into starting a business. I had no business plan. I had never run a business before. I'd never had any desire to run one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had this strong burning mission to go, what I have been doing is not what I want to do. So let me just try and figure that out. And it's a question of digging into that and doing that. So I started an events business I ran for over 13 years. And then I got into my very first mastermind. And again, I looked at the process of this. Do I enjoy that? This time I actually spent 6 months. Okay, does this fit my personality? Does it fit my long-term ambition? Does it fit really what I want to do? And when I ticked all those boxes and said, yes, it does, I said, okay, this is what I would do. I'm 100% into this. And I sold my other business to concentrate purely on masterminds. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got there. Very circuitous route around the world to finally get to where I'm much more aligned to my purpose.
No, I totally love it because, you know, the most fascinating things that I got to hear was you worked on cruise ships. And what immediately sparked in my head was I knew I had read an article somewhere where this lady, she's going to retire. And she's like, you know what? Instead of going and living in a retirement home, I'm going to live on cruise ships because it's cheaper to be on cruise ships than to be in a retirement home. And I was like, wow, that is fascinating. Now she gets to travel the entire world while she's retiring. She doesn't have to worry about, you know, being in a retirement home and worrying about if somebody's going to come see her, you know, having all those expectations. So that's really fascinating. I mean, being able to work on cruise ships. And my wife and I have been talking about going on the cruise because we've never been on a cruise ship before. And I'm sure it's exciting for the 5 to 7 days that you're on there, right? But how has that experience shaped your current? I mean, because I believe that every experience that you have, you know, has a part into making the person who you are.
Oh, 100%. I teach this section from this guy called Ken Wilber, which is Integral Business. And there's four quadrants to your life. There's your internal, there's your external part, there's the culture you're brought up in, and then there's the government structure. And all those four things make up how you see the world, how you react to it, what you think about something. So every time, you've had some kind of experience at childhood or even as you grow older, all of those things shape your beliefs. So we've all had people say, well, I could never work on a cruise ship. Yeah. Okay, well, if you believe that, then that's true. Alternatively, you believe, well, one day I'm going to have this dream job, I'm going to work towards that, then far more likely to happen. It won't always happen, but if you set that intentionality around that, then it will. So absolutely, our beliefs shape us. And we're so good at seeing other people's faults. You stand there and someone says, well, I could never do that. You go, well, that's just a limiting belief. Yeah. And then we'll say it ourselves. We go, oh, that's not for me. I could never do that. So we're great at recognizing in other people and easily spotting their limiting beliefs, their negativity or the fact that what they believe, we believe to be incorrect. But we're not particularly good at spotting it ourselves.
That's absolutely true. And that's one of the reasons the song Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson makes so much sense. We are not able to see other people or our own faults because we are always outward looking. But anytime you put a mirror in front of you, well, now you can fix that problem that you have yourself. And a lot of times, even looking in the mirror, you can't see what's inside of you. And that's where people will go and talk to other people about what's in their heads and what's in their minds. Really good point.
Self-awareness is one of the greatest skills you need to have as a small business owner, because the huge difference between working in corporate and working for the man or whatever you want to call it versus working for yourself is that the Peter principle still applies. So we've all worked in organizations where you go, how did that idiot get to be a manager, right? They just promote people to their level of incompetence. Mm-hmm. They've been there long enough, you know, you've got to do your time. And eventually what happens, that Peter principle, is that you've been promoted to a level where you're just not suited. So you're great at the lower level, but you're a terrible manager, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So then running a business, not only do you have to be really good at normally that technical skill. So a great example would be a tradesperson. You're a great electrician. You go, I'm sick of working for this guy. I'm now going to be my own boss. Mm-hmm. So not only do you need to do all the electrical work, but you're going to do the invoicing, the marketing, the quoting, all those other things that might not be your core competency. So when you change to running your own business, you've got to be far more self-aware of those things that you just don't like, that are holding you back, and say, you know what, my ego is not going to get the better of me. Let me hire someone else. Let me speak to someone else. And this is where coaches and masterminds and mentors and all those things come in to allow you to let go of the ego and show that mirror to you. Say, look, you're saying this, you're not showing up in this respect, you're not doing this. Why is that? Is it uncomfortable for you? Is it because you don't understand it, you don't want to do it? All of those things, that's where the really great businessmen and entrepreneurs come in, because they know that they can't figure it all out themselves, so they get the help that they need.
Nice. Really, really cool. You're absolutely right. Self-awareness, and I think that's one of the things that we've heard, what's his name, Gary Vaynerchuk, talk about self-awareness. Know who you are yourself before you go out and figure out. All right. That's awesome. I love it. All right. So on to the topic of mastermind programs. So you started your business and you said, okay, I can help. And that came through because you attended a mastermind program yourself. And you're like, wow, this is really something that you can help other people see. So walk us a little bit on what it takes or what it does.
Sure. Well, the backstory for that, when I said I spent that 6 months thinking about it, I told you I worked on cruise ships. What I didn't say was one of the very first cruise ships I worked on sunk off the coast of South Africa in this huge storm. I was on. Okay. So at the time, I went in the gift shop on the lowest paid people on the ship, and all the senior officers and crew abandoned their fate and didn't follow the procedures.
Mm-hmm.
So without sort of having any of the training, I helped me and some other of the staff predominantly. So it wasn't the crew, wasn't the chief engineer, the staff captain, the chief radio officer. They all abandoned their positions.
Mm-hmm.
It was myself and the cruise director and the magician and the band leader helped people into lifeboats and then into helicopters to rescue us off. So I know I've got this natural affinity to help people. I actually genuinely like doing that. So that tied into my intrinsic values and what I like to do. So that was the final, green light for, yes, I'd love to be in masterminds.
Yeah.
So the concept around masterminds was coined by Napoleon Hill, which is book Think and Grow Rich, which is 90 years old and still read today.
Yeah.
So he was sort of sponsored by Andrew Carnegie, one of the biggest, wealthiest billionaires at the time, the equivalent of Bill Gates or one of those guys. And he also noticed that all of those people at the same time were in a mastermind. So Henry Ford, the J.D. Rockefeller, the oil magnate, and the Wall Street guy, J.P. Morgan, all of them were in a mastermind.
Yeah.
So he coined the phrase as, when two or more minds come together, they create this third better mind, a super mind, almost a mastermind.
Yeah.
And it's just this idea that when you come together, you've got an idea and you ask something and someone says, oh no, what about this? And you build on that.
Because
when you look at business today, all we are doing is really standing on the shoulder of giants.
Yes.
We're taking an idea and we're adding a bit more to it. There are very, very few new ideas. They're just derivatives and improvement on what we do. Faster car, new internet, new features on something. So we're all sort of building on other people's ideas for the whole part, including the framework of what we operate in. So the idea of a mastermind group is to come together with other people and utilize their knowledge, their expertise, their experience, their beliefs, anything that's happened in experiences in their lives that shape them and give them that 100% unique perspective on things.
Yeah.
But also, it's incredibly isolating running a small business. If you are just a one-man band, everything is in your own head. All your thoughts or your beliefs, all kind of stuck there.
Yeah.
And it can be, first of all, very isolating, very lonely. And secondly, it can be exhausting trying to figure it all out yourself. And this day and age, we've kind of shifted in the last 20 years from information being quite scarce, so you'd always pay for information, to it now being a commodity. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So information has been commoditized and it's not particularly valuable. So what content isn't valuable, but context is. You've said yourself, you know, you're trying to figure out your own path. And I can't imagine how many blogs you've read, how many podcasts you've listened to, how many other things you've read, and all of those things going, I've got all this information, but how does that apply to me?
Yeah.
So the ability to work with other people in this tight-knit community, also known as masterminds, to go, hey, I'm working on this, what do you think? And someone says, oh, that'd be great, you could do this, this, and this. Oh, yeah, perfect. I tried that, didn't work. Have you thought about this? Oh, no, I didn't know that. That's brilliant. So you help each other and support each other, and you add the one key thing that's missing, which is accountability. So you start your own business and you go, oh, by the end of the year, I'm going to start a podcast, for example.
Yeah.
And then the group holds you to that. Oh, what progress have you made this week? I was stuck on this. And basically they call out your BS. And they call out your procrastination, and they just really sort of support you, and it comes back in spades. So that's the core essence of a true mastermind group.
Nice. No, I totally agree. Having somebody accountable, and we are, as small business owners or as entrepreneurs, I think those are two interchangeable terms, but being a one-man band is definitely much harder to get to that next level, or to even be able to scale. So no, that's exactly the thought that I had when I was like, you know, what if we had, because I need help with copy. I need help with, you know, design or coming up with ideas or figuring out a marketing strategy or figuring out, okay, you know, how can I get more guests, or how can I be a guest on other podcasts? So running that through other people that are in the same boat, or, you know, I was like, that's definitely going to help me get to that next level. And the advent of Facebook groups, and what's funny is that Yahoo groups back in the days were so prolific. You can ask about anything. And then even there's tons of communities like Reddit communities and forums around different topics that are ongoing. And it's the same concept of that group conversation and helping each other out, figuring out the solution to the problem that you're facing.
What I would say though is most of those groups are 2D information. So text is 2D. You miss the back and forth of immediacy. Like we're having this conversation now, you could say something, I respond instantly.
Yeah.
You also then get to ask follow-up questions, all those things. On a thread, it's a lot harder to disseminate that information.
It is.
Plus, these people don't really know you. So they're given advice, and I've seen this a lot, where they're giving advice from their own bias and beliefs, and sometimes from their own ulterior motives. So a few years ago, a friend of mine wanted to start a business. So she posted this big Facebook group, you know, what website should I use? So everyone came in with their own perspective of basically that's the code and the language they build in. So of course they're going to say that's the best one.
Yeah.
They didn't really even ask her business. So they didn't know enough about her to give her a truly independent answer. They just, from their perspective, they said, oh, you should build in WordPress. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I build WordPress websites.
I can help you do that.
Yeah, I can help you do that. So, you know, they never even asked about a business. You know, what size of a business do you want? Is it going to be e-commerce? Do you want blah, blah, blah? None of them. They just went, hey, I can do that. You should build in this thing. So the downside of those groups is that they don't truly know you, and yeah. there's no follow-up. So they don't care whether you took their advice or not. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you're just lacking that human sort of connection of going deeper and really opening up and getting that support. So they're good to a point, but they can't replace the true power of these people that mm-hmm. know, like, and trust you, that really have your back, that support you, support yeah. each other. And I see the same thing on, so my preferred social media platform is LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Now, LinkedIn is, if you're in B2B, it is the platform to be on.
Yeah.
You can talk to CEOs, you can talk to, not necessarily Tim Ferriss, but I've had conversations on there with Joe Polish, mm-hmm. Dan Kennedy, Jamie Masters, some of the biggest entrepreneurs in the world are there on LinkedIn having this conversation with them, partly because they come to LinkedIn late. And secondly, you've got to build up that engagement. So once you start liking their posts and commenting, I've been taking a lot of those discussions sort of offline and built up partnerships, all those kinds of things. So all of that happens. The platform is just the first part to it. Mm-hmm. You don't really build trust from text back and forth. It's only when you speak to people that you really kind of build that real personal connection and layer of, this person is in my tribe, this person is in my network, I know this person now, and therefore that is part of my network. And in future, we can potentially do business, we can mm-hmm. refer somebody to somebody else, and we've really sort of built that connection.
Nice, I love it. That's really cool. Like I mentioned, I'm absolutely down to create a mastermind group and bring my people in. But again, so what are some of the because there's logistics also, right? You got to figure out, okay, when is everybody going to talk on the phone? Or if it's a in-person one, we got to make sure everybody's calendars are in sync. So then we can figure out, okay, every Thursday at 10 a.m., we can meet for an hour, 2 hours, and talk about all the problems and figure out what we're doing next. It's almost like in an agile software development environment, on a day-to-day, on every day in the morning, you're having your scrum meeting, figuring out, okay, where's the team going? What problems is somebody facing? How can the technical manager help with facilitating of communicating with other teams and whatnot? So how does that part work, and what systems in place do have a recommendation for?
Well, whoever is the mastermind organizer, mm-hmm. they pretty much set the agenda, the rules, and what they expect. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that you kind of get what you tolerate. If you go, well, it doesn't really matter if you turn up. If you don't say at the start, well, if you don't turn up the next two meetings in a row without a legitimate reason, like you're on holiday, you're kicked out.
Yeah.
So you set your own community agenda and expectations, and then people know from the start, this is it. Not really interested in your money. You make it a small amount to run these groups. Say, look, I'm going to charge you next to nothing. You're paying for the community and the value. I'm not really that bothered about the money. That's just to give you some tiny bit of skin in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in the people that really are genuinely committed, like helping other people, want to get plenty out of this, love supporting other people. And if that's a good fit for you, come and join.
Yeah.
If not, that's no problem. So I'm interested in, Janine, why do you think you're unable to get your mastermind up and running?
Like you said, we're all doing what we love to do, right? And once we quit our jobs and now figure out, oh, I have to do all the accounting, I have to do all of this and now all of that, and you're like, all right, well, I didn't really sign up for that, or I didn't really know what that was going to do. So it also probably the amount of time that I have on a daily basis to dedicate my mind. I'm trying to figure out, okay, I need this out first, I need this out second, I need this out third, figuring out the marketing. I'm running like four different things at the same time. So maybe that's my problem. So it all came down to, okay, I've got to isolate, or I got to lock my days down. On Monday, I'm doing all the mastermind activity. On Tuesday, I'm doing all of the activity for my web development company. And then on Thursday, I'm recording all the podcasts. On Wednesdays, I'm going out and shooting video. So I'm trying to get to that point where I have everything locked down for days. And with that structure in place, build a strategy to see, okay, how can we move to the next step? And that's what those are some of the things that I've been struggling with to get to that point and to be even able to create the mastermind group or get started.
Right. Okay. What I've found in my experience is that the mastermind group, for some people, they don't understand the value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking to solve problems, what most people do is, you know, just like me, people are struggling to do this.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you say, you know, if you're feeling isolated, frustrated, unproductive, come join this group and we will help you figure out what you need to do for the next 6 months. So make it quite tangible in the results and a bit of a promise around what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And then that way people self-select, right? Oh, yeah, that's perfect for me. That's mm-hmm. what I want. So potentially you might have been particularly clear in your expectations of what they're going to get out of it, which is the first thing, because we all do that, right? What's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Right? Every single time.
Yeah.
This is human nature. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get supported. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get my goals done. I'm going to get the kick up the butt I need. Whatever you decide of that framework, build that and give it a fairly strong value proposition. They always talk about benefits, not features.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible in software. People go, I've got this feature. Yeah, but what's the benefit?
Yeah.
You're going to save 2 hours a week, or you're going to have someone that's going to hold you accountable, that your goals will get met.
Yeah.
However you want to structure that. And then obviously you're going to invite a lot of people, because some people won't be a good fit. Some people can't make that time. So lock down the time. We're going to meet for, you know, 90 minutes every 2 weeks, and then just sort of go out there and intentionally create it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's something I need to get a move on. So some of the things that are keeping me back and keeping me up at night, well, I try to keep up straight up at night, but it doesn't work too much because I've got a little baby to put to sleep and then so tired during the day, you know. So having that time and the ability to strategize and clear my mind and actually do the work that needs to be done, to get that to the next level. Yeah. And what I have done, you know, I've brought on some people to help me with other things that are repeatable. Like for example, maintaining a website content or editing podcast episodes or editing web pages or articles and copywriting and stuff like that. So those things I understand, okay, some things I can do on my own. Other things I need help with because it's repeatable. I can tell kind of thing that they can help me do. Almost like a virtual assistant or an executive assistant. I think it's the next level, having an executive assistant. That's where I haven't got to yet. But I'm not.
Yeah, well, I'd strongly suggest, you know, for a mastermind, you just lock it into your diary and it's just, mm-hmm. it just becomes like everything else. Well, what you do. Just over a year ago, I found this strategy of thinking time,
mm-hmm.
because we're all guilty of this, and myself, no more than myself, is that you're on this hamster wheel and you're busy doing stuff.
Yeah.
But what I realized is that thinking time allows you to really go deeper on the problem. Because the faster we process things, we just take almost the first thing that pops back into our head.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you go, well, I need more website traffic. The first thing you think of is, well, I need to write more articles. Then you sit down and say, okay, well, how do I get more traffic to my site? And you list kind of all of the ways. And if you mm-hmm. spend half an hour just on that problem,
yeah,
you could potentially come up with all the things that you've heard over the last couple of years, other mm-hmm. ideas, other strategies. And eventually you'll find that that list is far better than if you just went, oh, I need more website traffic. What do? Write more blogs. So you go, okay, mm-hmm. well, what if I guest post? What if I did something else to, and you just list out as many as you can, and you keep going and you keep on thinking just on that one problem.
Yeah.
Until you go, actually, I've got four or five solutions here. The first one I thought of that if I didn't have the time and went, okay, let's just write more articles, isn't the best one. I found two other better ideas.
Yeah.
No, so scheduling in those, the thinking time for me works really well. And
that's really
the same for Mastermind. If you're gonna commit to that, you just schedule it in once a fortnight. Oh, it's Thursday morning for the next hour and a half. This is what I do every other Thursday.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I do need to set up a thinking time so then I can focus on just thinking. And not doing, because I think what I've been doing this past summer and this past week is just doing, you know, go build, you know, I spent 2 weeks building a playset for my kids. Another 2 weeks I just spent on the yard because there's so many leaves coming down this time of year. So I didn't have the right tools to get the job done. And I think I'm there at a point where I have the right tools. I just go out there, spend 1 hour on the yard, and it's looking great. And I can come back inside and do the work and continue to do work. The other thing that's enabled me to do, because I'm working with my hands, my mind is free to think. So there's been a lot of thoughts going in my head and coming through, and I'm like, all right, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. But again, being out there, I'm not able to write it down. So yeah. Lots of things happen. But you've got some really good points. I need to have a thinking time spot in my calendar.
Yeah, I only read about that a year ago, so I've been using it for the last year. And nice. I'm going to be totally honest, I haven't got it all figured out. There's so much stuff that I don't know. So I've been working with two different mentors in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Because again, even the successful people have got their own bigger problems. How do I scale to the next level? How do I go to the next level?
Exactly. So
let's be honest, nobody's got it all figured out. What frustrates me online is that everyone thinks that Gary Vee and Grant Cardone and Tony Robbins have all the answers. First of all, they're really, you know, these following these gurus doesn't kind of get you anywhere for most part.
No.
It's the people that are one step ahead of you, two steps ahead of you for the most part. They've just recently done what you want to do.
So yeah, exactly.
Connect with them. Try and hang on to their coattails. They're far more likely to have the bandwidth and the time to join your mastermind.
Exactly.
They're still in touch with where you were 12 months ago or 2 years ago. So they've still got the empathy. And, you know, let's be honest, they're not trying to build this massive empire which requires to have thousands of people come through their funnel and through their systems, which is, to me, is incredibly impersonal. So I encourage, you know, anybody listen to this, that sure, these guys have got great advice, but they'd be terrible in a mastermind for you starting out, because their concepts are so high level, and they're building empires, and they're building really just revenue, not necessarily touching people. So my advice is always to find people just, you know, one step ahead of you, two steps ahead of you, 2 years ahead of you, if you want them to come into to a mastermind, and support them as much as they can, and you'll learn from them, because as I said, they've just recently done that.
That's really awesome. Thank you, man. That makes a lot of sense to me, and it's totally legit, because people, I mean, they're able to, so Tony Robbins, Pat Flynn, Gary Vee, they're able to share that information. They have a huge team. And I think a lot of the times Gary Vee says, do what I'm doing, not what I'm saying. it's really interesting, like how he said it, you know. And again, you got to have that bandwidth to be able to do what he's doing. And but a lot of times we got to figure out, okay, what's the first step? What's the next step? What's the next step? And then connecting with people who just got there a year ago or had been there for a year or 2 years are going to be more fresh. So really, really awesome points. Thank you so much. Well, this has been a very learning, very awesome conversation. Thank you so much. I do have a few questions for you, my guest.
Far away.
Awesome. What is one hobby that you wish you got into?
Well, I wish I'd stayed into table tennis. I played table tennis when I was a kid, and then I stopped for a long, long time, and then I've recently started up in the last 2 years. I think what happens is, as we get out of our 20s, we stop doing the things that we loved as a kid, and we lose some of that joy and playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, my hobby should have been continue to play table tennis.
Nice, like it. Next question: what is your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite movie, it's more the character than the movie. So it's The Matrix. I just love the thought of Neo, that you could, this isn't me, you could lock into, you know, the Matrix and figure it all out. That would be amazing. And interesting enough, a coach a few years ago asked me this same question, who's your favorite movie character?
Yeah.
And the reason he asked it is that often it's a reflection of who you want to be or who you see yourself. So that's a good question you've asked.
Nice. Well, the next question you're going to like even more. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
I got to play a character in it. Oh, my favorite movie of all time is a very cult British one called With Nell and I. Mm-hmm. So there's these two out of work actors that go on holiday in England because they've got no money and they drink a lot and the one guy is incredibly sarcastic and really, really self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found the movie incredibly, incredibly funny. So
nice.
I'd play that character, although I would hate myself and everyone would hate me for it. But I play it just because I love the film.
Yeah, nice, nice. So the question came to me when I watched the movie or when I read the book, Ready Player One. And in it, to solve the puzzle, you have to play the character of Matthew Broderick in War Games. And that's the puzzle. That's the game that you have to play. You got to know all the lines that Matthew Broderick says to pass that puzzle and then get that key. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but they did similar thing. In the movie, they actually picked The Shining instead of War Games as the movie to depict and be a character in it. It's really cool.
Okay.
All right, who is your favorite superhero?
Mine's Superman.
Nice. Love it. If you were a board game, what would it be?
I think I would be Connect Four.
Connect Four is not a board game.
Oh, sorry. No, it's you. Then I'm going to say Cluedo, which was like the first thing that came to my head.
Cluedo, or is that Ludo?
No, it's Cluedo. It's a mystery game. It's
predominantly
from the UK. So you have to figure out who murdered who in what room.
It's known as Clue. Okay, so it's Clue in North America. All right. It's a murder mystery game for 3 to 6 players. Nice. And fantastic. So Ronan, where can my audience find you?
Well, they can definitely find me on LinkedIn. I'm Ronan Leonard. And my website, if they want to check that out, is ecountability.io.
Perfect. So we can find Ronan as Ronan Leonard, the mastermind guy, because there's a lot of Ronan Leonards on LinkedIn as well. Ronan, this was really awesome talking to you. Thank you for the insights on mastermind groups and your story and your journey. I really love the fact that you got to work on a cruise ship. That was pretty exciting. But overall, you know, you've got some really awesome story and really good actionable intel that we can all take back and build our mastermind groups. Thank you so much. Well,
my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Have a good day.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.